morning. So just thanks for having me this morning. Just a little bit about myself. I'm 6 years walking with the Lord, 6 years in Liberty City, and God's doing amazing work in my life. I suppose just a little tiny bit of my testimony would be, when I first came to church, just even sit beside somebody and have a cup of tea and have a conversation was a big challenge. I used to love just sitting down the back and being left on my own. So what God's done over the years is he's just given me, you know, the strength and the confidence to even just to stand here for 7 minutes this morning is not of me, it's of God. You know, the person I was back then, I wouldn't have done this for nobody, you know, but God is changing me, and each day it's a challenge. This morning's sermon, what I was supposed to bring on was radically serving. And for me, that wasn't a challenge because I know I have a servant's heart. If anybody asks me to do anything, I can do it. It's no problem. I'll help anybody in any way. But during the week, the 7 minutes was changed. And God has an amazing sense of humour. This morning, I was asked to bring radically putting God first. You know, so even though I bring the 7 minutes this morning, I'm bringing this to myself because this is where I'm challenged. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. The Bible tells us to put God first, family second, work next, and so on and so on. This is, for me personally, this is a tough challenge. You know, I can get caught up in life. I can get caught up in ministry. I can get caught up in work, caught up with my daughter, caught up with family, and do the mundane day-to-day things every single day. You start my morning at 7 a.m. and I, you know, go to bed at 11. And there's times when I lie there and I go to myself, well, where did you put God today? Where was he? Because he certainly wasn't first. I sat and I read the scriptures. And to love God, you know, the revelation I got this week is to love God first. It is the greatest commandment. It's the first commandment. Our love must be sincere. We must genuinely love God first. Not, they can't just be words from my mouth. It's very easy for me to stand here and say I love God first. You know, but God knows my heart. God knows at the end of the day when I go to bed, you know, I put all the day-to-day things ahead of him, before him. People can see, they look at me and say, oh, Anne's a great woman of God. And, you know, and I do my best. I'm not denying that. And I do my best and I serve my best. But my relationship with the Lord at times really struggles. Putting him first really struggles. And the sad thing is, I know when I put him first, all the desires of my heart is met. Putting God first takes constant discipline. You know, putting God first in our lives means changes will take place in our lives. We won't be the same person we were. You know, we have to change. And if we don't change, well then, we're not being challenged and we're not putting God first. If Jesus really is the Lord of your life and we put all things aside, you know, before, what gave us our instant, you know, what gave us our pleasures, what satisfied us, all those things have to go. Money, possessions, drink, drugs, lust, sex, porn, all that stuff was the old life, you know, that was instant satisfaction, instant gratification. But the word says all those things, they're of the enemy and we have to lose them. Putting God first means changing our focus from our own selfish desires and to immerse ourselves in his love and his grace. Well, another thing about myself is I really struggle academically, you know. I was just there having a dinner with my little girl. I have a little girl, 10 last night. And when I go on a date night with her, it doesn't happen too often, but when I go on a date night with her, the phone goes off, everything. It's just me and her. We sit across the table and we just have yap time and talk time. And as I said, I struggle academically. So learning the scriptures and putting them in my heart that I really know them is a challenge for me. And last night we were sitting there and we were playing a game. You know the way you used to play the clap games, Queenie.io or something like that. But she challenged me to this game. And she was after getting an Oreo milkshake. And I says, can I have a sup? And she says, when you know the game off by heart, you can have a sup. I was dying for a sup of this Oreo milkshake. And she wouldn't give in. She just wouldn't let me have a sup till I knew. But I came away. And, you know, when I really, really want something, you know, when I really want something and I sit down and I work harder, I get it. You know, and one of the scriptures for me that went into my heart straight away was Proverbs 3:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and lean not on your own understanding. So when I come away from the things of my own understanding, I can't learn and I can't do this, and really believe in that scripture, love God first, everything else comes. You know, this morning, it is a challenge to get up here. Nobody wants to just come up and do it because it's, you know, it's great. And it's a challenge. God uses us. We're his vessels. You know, it's not about me anymore. It's about me reaching the people. It's about me putting all my selfish desires away and putting my love in him. How do we love God? We love God by loving others. It's as simple as that. We love God by loving others. We love God by accepting everybody where they're at. You know, I'm not at the place God wants me to be, and I'm far from at the place. But there's people in my life who love me when I fail, when I'm down in the pit. They love me. It's unconditional love. That's what God wants. He wants us to love people. And that's what I need to do. I need to accept everybody for where they're at. Whether they're only the first time coming in, whether they're out on the streets, whether they're still caught up in addiction, whatever it may be, I need to love those people the way God loves me. We love our God by honouring our mother and father. That's the second great commandment. We love, honour our mother and father. We love God by treating others as we want to be treated. And we love God by being the light. You know, there's dark places out there. There's people caught up in every form of addiction. There's people lonely. There's people broken. But we can be the light. We're asked to be the light and to bring the light into the people's situations. Putting God first for me, and I'm speaking for me. You know, I don't know if it's resonating with anybody else, but this is the message that God was showing me this week. Constantly remember, we're not doing it for others. So I don't come in here this morning because I've asked to come in because I'm due on my 7-minute service. I come in this morning to do it for God. God knows my heart, and I don't get it right all the time. I fail every single day. And when we fail, don't beat ourselves up. Get back up, dust ourselves down, and get up and get on. Get around people who will edify us, who will lift us up, who will build us up. This morning, the challenge I'm putting back out to you is, what comes first in your life? What comes before God? And just even sitting last night with the Word was, you know, it's very easy to get up in the morning and the phone is on the locker and it's pick up the phone and press the mail button, what mails have come in, what messages have come in, press on Facebook. So that's me putting all the stuff on my phone before God. That's me putting Facebook before the Lord. That's me putting what people have to say to me before the Lord. You know, that's not putting God first. And that's a huge challenge. And I was very, very challenged. And, you know, when we were in praying this morning, it was speak the truth. This is the truth, guys. You know, most times, I fail to put the Lord first. But I don't stand here and I hope they're not just words from my mouth, and I ask God to give me the strength to change my heart. You know, change my heart. Let all that meaningful stuff, you know, the day-to-day stuff just fall away and help me put Jesus first. That's my prayer this morning, and that's my challenge for you guys sitting there. If it is not Jesus, then this morning I ask that you ask for forgiveness and to ask God for the strength and the willingness to fulfill this. Make Jesus your top priority today and begin to experience the life that Jesus has created us to live. I just want to finish with this scripture, and it's in Luke 17. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will preserve it. You know, and that's the bottom line here. If I keep staying in the world and living and doing what the world offers, living in Facebook, living in mail, living in, you know, doing what other people want me to do, if I keep doing that, I'll stay put. God won't bring me on. God won't give me the life that he has for me, because I know he has a plan and a purpose for my life. I know I'm here for a reason this morning, you know. So this morning, Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to do this teaching this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father, from the bottom of my heart. And this morning, Lord, I stand here. And just as it's resonated in my heart, and just as all the changes that I know I need to take place, that needs to take place in my life, this morning, Father, I ask, Lord, that you will give the people in this room, Lord God, the courage first to step out and admit that you're not first in their lives. But most importantly, Father God, to strength and the grace, Lord God, to do this commandment, your first commandment. What it says is, put you first. So this morning I declare that I will, you know, I will. I don't stand here lightly. I don't stand here lightly making this, because this is huge in my life. So I know what it's like. So if your heart is pumping or your stomach is fluttering, it's the Holy Spirit telling you, put him first. Amen. Now, it gives me great pleasure. When we came in this morning, we were told the Dublin City Slickers are here. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce the next woman. This woman, she has a huge place in my heart. This woman I'm accountable to, and I have been from day one of when I first came into the Lord. And she's been a strength in my life. And I know the word that she's going to bring this morning is going to touch people's lives. So this morning, can we give a huge round of applause for Louise?
Thank you. Thanks. Well, good morning, everybody. Am I on? Yeah. It's great to be here this morning. Did you see the horses parked downstairs? The City Slickers? I'm just going to ask you all, if we can, because I'm feeling a little bit lonely up here. If we could all just move over this side and just get a little bit cosy. Is that all right? Is that okay? Everybody cool with that? Brilliant. Come on, lads. Have you just even pulled the chairs over? Brilliant. That way then I can see you all. See all those lovely faces this morning. Amen. Brilliant. Huh? Oh, especially yours, yeah. What's your name? Tom. Hiya, Tom. Is this your first time with us, or? A few times. Well, you're very welcome, Tom. It's great to have you here in the house this morning. Amen. Brilliant. Amen. Well done, Anne. You know what Anne brought is actually my sermon, believe it or believe it not, you know. So well done, Anne. Good job. Great job this morning. Hands up who is here with us for the first time. Is anyone here in the house for the first time this morning? No newbies? No? No? Okay, great. Amen. Brilliant. So Patrice brought about the great big giveaway. And I was just sharing with a few people last night on Facebook. I actually made a plea to all my friends and all my family members and old school friends on Facebook about getting connected with the great big giveaway. And this thing has actually gone viral, believe it or believe it not. I have my mom's friends connecting with me on Facebook to go and buy a tin of fruit, you know. And next week they're asking me on Facebook, well, what's next week's? So I'm actually keeping them in suspense of what next week's item is to buy. But you know what? Like, God is good. You know, he's amazing, because, like, I actually stepped out of the boat because it was kind of, oh, you know, I hate asking people for money. That's one of my, you know, fears, is asking people for money or asking people to go and buy stuff, because we're in hard times, aren't we? You know, but you know what? I said, Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it obedient unto you, and I'm going to step out of the boat, and I'm going to just see. And this thing actually has gone viral. So praise God. So what I'm asking you guys is, you know what Patrice brought this morning, step out of the boat, ask your friends on Facebook, put it out there on Facebook, you know, about getting people to get connected. Because to buy a tin of fruit, whatever it is, 49 cents, is that right, Linda? In Aldi? You know what? We're going to bless people. We're going to bless people in Bray, in Clondalkin, in Finglas, in the city. And we're going to bless families with hampers this Christmas. And I think that's just amazing. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's get into the word this morning. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you're a good God. And Father, you want to give something here this morning. You want to deposit something into hearts here this morning. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and do what you do best. Release this word this morning. Open hearts and open ears here this morning, Father God. And Father, we just ask, Lord God, let there be no condemnation, Father God. But let this word, Father God, be a light, Father God, to people's hearts and people's minds this morning. But in that lightness, Lord God, that there's weight in it, Father. Weight of what your word carries. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. For those of you that know me, you know I'm a little bit wacky. I'm a little bit off the wall. And for those of you that don't know me, well, I just want to introduce myself. Just my name is Louise, and I'm an elder in Liberty, you know, and it's great to be here this morning. We're one church in many locations, and that's what I love about Liberty. You know, it's the same DNA that's running through all the locations, which is great. So I want to share a story with you. It's a story that I read. Love reading stories. So this is what it says. In New York City, there are 8 million cats and 11 million dogs. New York is basically just concrete and steel. So if you have a pet in New York, and if the pet dies, you just can't go out the backyard and bury the pet animal. So for $50, the city council said they would dispose of any deceased animals that people had. So this woman came up with a brainwave, my kind of woman, and she came up with this brainwave that she would offer a service to the people in New York. So what she did was she took out a local ad in the local New York Times. And what the ad said was, she said, I will come and I will take your deceased pet for $25. I think that's a good bargain. So the lady would go to the local Salvation Army and she would buy an old suitcase for $2. Then when someone would call about their pet, she would go to the home and put the deceased pet into the suitcase. She would then take a ride on the New York subway. And on this subway, there's gangs and there's thieves and all sorts of folks that hang out on these subways. Isn't that right? So the woman would look around and she would observe her surroundings. And she would put the suitcase down in the middle of the floor. And as you can probably guess, the next thing that happened, she would look up as if nothing had happened. And then next of all, one of the thieves would come and snatch the suitcase. And the woman would shout and scream, wait, 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 that's my suitcase. But the thief was gone and he was gone with her luggage. But can you just imagine when the thief got home or wherever he went and he opened that suitcase just to find what was inside of it? Not really a nice surprise, no? But the moral of the story, folks, is there are many of us here that can identify with the thieves. There's many of us here in this room that we grab the first thing in life. We grab the first thing that comes at us. We grab the first thing in the morning when we wake up, whether it be the phone, whether it be the laptop. We grab whatever comes at us in life. But people in life are on a journey. You know, everybody's on some type of a journey to find happiness, to find contentment. But so many people turn to the wrong things in life. And so many people turn to things that they feel that they're going to find contentment in that. And what happens is we make those things a priority before God. We make those things in life first before God. And over this series of radical discipleship, you know, there has been so many topics covered around this series. And this series has been all about teaching the body of Christ how to become a radical disciple. How you can impart some of those teachings and sermons into your life. That when you leave this place, that it's not just, oh, wasn't that a great sermon? Weren't they great words that were preached from the pulpit today? But the sermon is about you applying the application to your life. It's about you being challenged. Just what Anne said, that she was even challenged getting up here today about putting God first in your life. You know, the sermons over these weeks have been on forgiveness. You know, about not just being a Christian, but about calling yourself a disciple. And what I want to do is encourage us today, go back over the series, get onto the podcast, listen to the podcast, because that's between you and God. You can call yourself a Christian or you can call yourself a disciple. But you see, Jesus left a command. He told us to come and follow him. And that was the greatest command that he told the 11 disciples. Because what will happen is when we leave this place today at 12:30 or 1 o'clock or whatever, we will go on as people. We will go on as people just with the mundane life. We will go on as Christians, or we can leave here today and be known as true disciples of God. And I think that deserves an amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just before we get into this word, as I said, let there be no condemnation in this room. Because if we know Jesus here, if we declare to know Jesus in this house, we know that we're forgiven. We know, as Anne said, when we fall down, when we fail, we get back up. And we get back up as a people. And we say, Lord, yeah, I got it wrong. But through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. So let there be no condemnation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as a disciple, we are called. We're called to live a life of honor unto God. And the scripture that the guys are going to just put up there on the screen, it's John 12:26. And this is what it says. It says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. When we talk about following something or honoring something, like in my house at home, they all follow Man United. Is there any Liverpool supporters in the house? Oh, okay. Any Chelsea supporters? No. Are we all Man United?
Yay!
Sorry, Marion. But you know, when we say we follow someone or when we honour somebody, like in my house, my husband and my son, they follow United. They love United. They love everything about them, you know, and they even go as far as to wear the jersey. You know, there might be something in your life that you follow. It could be a hobby. It could be a football team. And you put everything into that. Is that right? And you get behind that and you support that. And you see, Jesus tells us in that scripture, he clearly tells us that anyone who wants to be my disciple, they must follow me. So that means that we give 100%, 110% to following God. You see, the disciples, what they did was they walked as he walked, they talked as he talked, and they acted as he acted. And how they did that was through the power of the Holy Spirit. They just didn't do it in their own strength, but they called on the power of the Holy Spirit every day to help them walk as Jesus walked, to talk as Jesus talked, and to act as Jesus acted. And, you know, as I said earlier on, you know, when we were putting this series together, we have a class that we're involved in. It's called the Communicators Class. And Pastor Noel is raising up preachers and he's raising up communicators in the house. You know, and Anne, it would be one of our communicators, which will follow on to be a preacher. Isn't that right, Anne? Amen. So, and she's looking at me. But, you know, that's what that class is all about. But when we were in that class, when we were getting this series together and we were sitting as a group together and we were throwing ideas out and, you know, we really got down to the crux of what does it mean to be a radical disciple. And I think the guys have the picture. There it is. And to be a radical disciple it's a lifestyle for a lifetime. So just like you follow your football team or your favourite hobby. Shawnee's laughing at me. Okay. But whoever it is that you follow or whoever it is that you honour, you do it with diligence. You do it out of a servant's heart. You do it because that means something to you, because you're passionate about that. But to be a radical disciple is to know Jesus. It's to know the Master. It's to understand who Jesus is. It's to grow as a disciple. It means that you're listening. It means that you're learning. It means also that you're flowing, that you're obeying, that you're moving in favor of God's will, and that you're going. That the mission is that you go out. That you go out as a disciple, and that you take action, and that you let people know who you are in Jesus. You see, Jesus told the 11, he said in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. Be sure of this. I am with you always to the end. And that's the promise, that Jesus is with us till the end. He's always with us till the end, and till the end of the age. You see, when you gave your life to God, when you became a Christian, the first thing that happened when you became a Christian was you received eternal life. And that eternal life is while we're here on this earth. It's not when we pass away. Yes, we will get the rewards of that. But eternal life begins right here, right now. Whether you've only given your life to Jesus, whether you gave it to him a year ago, 20 years ago, you began eternal life. Amen? Amen. So our mission is to go out. It's to share the good news. You see, there is a reward when we share the good news. And just like you've probably seen posters around the shops or out on the lampposts, you know, a dog is missing and there's a reward, or there's jewellery missing, probably not likely now. But you will see up on those posters, a reward is granted if you find the dog or if you find the piece of jewellery. You see, there is a reward in serving God. There is a reward when we put God first. If you ever received a sum of money or a financial big lump sum, there's profit in that. You gain profit from receiving that. There's satisfaction in serving God. There's contentment in serving God. There's joy in serving God. There's delight and pleasure in serving God. There's fulfillment in serving God. There's actually achievement in serving God. To radically put God first is to honor him with everything in your life. When we value God, we are honoring who God is. We're shown respect for who God is. We're considering who God is. We don't take it lightly. It says in Proverbs 27, he that looks after his master will be honored. And this is what God says to his children. You see, God will bless his children. That's what the word of God says. The scriptures declare that God will bless us, that God will, they're the promises of God to us. That's our inheritance. The most practical thing that we can do as people or as Christians is just show up here on a Sunday morning. You know, we could nearly do that with our eyes closed. You know, we could just get up on a Sunday morning. We know we have to be here for 10:30 or 11 o'clock. It's the most practical thing to do. Or it's the most practical thing to do is to show up at the next church event or the next link group, which is all great. And we love to see all your happy, smiley faces coming in through those doors. And we can come in and we can sit down and we can be obedient and we can sit here for 2 hours. But the question is, do we honor God? Do we put God first? Outside of all of these great gatherings, do we put God first when we're on our own at home? When we wake up first thing in the morning, before we go to bed at night, in the middle of the day, do we put God first in everything? When we speak of honoring God, what we are saying is we honor God with our bodies, we honor God with money, we honor God with our life, and with our thoughts and our words. When we say we honor God, what we are saying is we view him as valuable, that God is precious. When we declare that his worth and his value is far beyond any price tag, that God is the number one priority. And I know this is challenging, folks. Just bear with me. But what happens when God is not a priority? And if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel 2:30. And I think the guys are going to get up. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, we're going to read this. So when God is not first priority, this is the scripture that I got when I was preparing this sermon. And this is what it says. It says, therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. And that's in the NIV version. And it says in the Amplified version, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You see, this passage of scripture, it's referring to Eli the priest and his sons. And you can read that in your own time. But just to give you a little bit of background on that, this man, Eli, he was a high priest and he had a difficult time rearing his sons. His sons were rebellious. His sons did not follow in the ways of the Lord. His sons did not bring their first offerings to the Lord. What they were doing was they were living wildly. And you see, Eli the priest, in his weakness, he did not discipline his sons. He let his sons continue on dishonoring the Lord. And you see, Eli himself was guilty of honoring his sons before God. He placed his sons before God. He continued to throw a blind eye at what the sons did. And what the Lord did was he took the priesthood out of their family, because the two sons should have rightfully been the ones to be the priests in the land and to be the rulers in the land. But what happened was the Lord withheld the two sons from receiving that. And young Samuel, the boy, he was the one that became the ruler in the land. You know, with scripture, we can choose to make God's word a first priority in our lives, or we can choose to skim over it. And we can make it suit us sometimes when we feel like it, like an a la carte menu. You know, we can pick bits out of the scripture. But God says, those who honor me, those who put me first, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. And I want to ask you, is there something in your life that is being honoured above God here today? Is there something that you're not seeing a breakthrough? Something that's causing you to be influenced and make wrong decisions? Have you put God second place in your life? You see, this scripture is quite clear. It tells us that when we honour God, God will honour us. If we don't honour God, if we despise him, and believe me, there's people in this world that despise God, but when we don't honour him, and if we don't see God's word as carrying weight in our lives, as being a top priority, as being an influence, the word of God says, we will be lightly esteemed. We will be lightly esteemed as a people. It means that we will have little value of who God is. But the good news is we have a choice. And the good news is today that there will be a time of ministry where you can, you know, pray to God or get someone to pray with you if that hasn't been a priority in your life, if God hasn't been a priority in your life. But it would be wrong of me if I don't bring the word of God. And if I don't tell people here, you know, what it would look like if we don't honour God. You see, if we choose to dishonour God and if we ignore his ways, we can't turn around as a people and say, I never heard that. I didn't know about that. I never heard that from the pulpit. I never read that in Samuel. I never read that or heard that in my link group or in my life group. You see, the word of God is very clear. The word of God carries weight in it. When we honor God, God will honor us as people because we are his children. You know, the first 10 commandments states that we will have no other God before him. How many times And I've done it even in my own life. I'm preaching to myself here. But how many times have we allowed something to substitute God? How many times? I can think even in my own mind. I can even call out 5 things now where I've put things before God. But as I've put those things before God, I haven't been happy. I haven't felt that joy and that contentment. But the Word of God says, when we put Him first, God will add all things to us. When we seek His kingdom first, God will add all things to us. When we put God first in our life, there's a lot of things that we do choose to honor before Him. Like things that we're praying for, like a family member for it to be here today even, or a family member that has gone far from the Lord. Oh, well, I'm at to praying that prayer 20 times. I'm not praying it anymore. God is not listening to me. God doesn't hear me. But the thing is, it's obedience. God says, honor me. Honor me with your lips. Honor me. Put things first. Put me first. Keep praying for that family member. Keep praying for that situation. And you will see your breakthrough. What you value in life is going to be your priority. So do you value your job more than your spouse? Do you value your boyfriend or do you value your girlfriend more than God? Do you value other people more than God? Do you value even your ministry more than God? Those things that we place a higher value on in our lives will be our priority. When first things are first, the scripture tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all things will be given to you as well. That's our promise, folks. And I think that deserves an amen. The word of God says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all things will be given to you as well. When we align our lives with the word of God, when we seek God and put him first, all things will be added to us. To seek God's ways of doing things, to seek God's ways and doing things right. You know, as a church in January 2013, we opened up with our scripture for the year was Isaiah 55. And I'm paraphrasing this. And in Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord, seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near, for my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Call on God. He's near. Call on him. Have you made God your priority? Have you allowed him to be honored in your life? You see, Jesus said, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you will listen. See, what Jesus did, he placed a priority on the disciples as he taught them. He placed a priority that as his disciples were with him, as they walked with him, as they talked with him, as they acted out things with him, their job was to listen. Their job was to hear the truth. And this morning I'm bringing the word of truth here. You see, there's a weight placed upon the disciples when they were with Jesus. And it's the same for us folks here today. When we call ourselves disciples, there's a weight of God's word placed upon us. If we choose to make God the number one priority, God will honor us by pouring out his blessings. When we don't make it our business to make God's word a priority, it keeps us cut off. It keeps us acting as lukewarm Christians. You've one foot in and you've one foot out. It keeps us in a place where we allow people to influence us. We allow situations and circumstances to persuade us into doing something we know is wrong. Them that will honour me, I will honour them. You know, when I honor my husband, I'm valuing him. I'm showing him respect. It doesn't mean that I'm blind to his weaknesses. And believe you me, he has plenty. Like me. But it doesn't mean that. Do you know what I'm saying? It means that we make a choice to express value to them. And I value him. I respect him. I honor him. But if I was to dishonor my husband, I'm devaluing him. I'm shown little respect for who he is. When we make God a priority, it means we're making a choice. We're making a choice to put God first. We're applying his word and it becomes a value. It becomes a principle. It becomes a place of growth. It becomes a place when you're in that quiet place, just you and God, and you're reading the word of God, something magic happens. Something just begins to open up inside of you. God begins to speak to you. So how do we honor God in all situations? How, as a disciple, do we honor God? When you go to the gym, you know, some of you might just pick up weights and you're working your abs. Is that what they're called? You're working your muscles. You know, and you're pumping those weights. And you could be doing that for a couple of weeks, a couple of months. But the result at the end of that is you're going to have muscles. Isn't that right? You're going to be toned. When we read the word of God, when we read the word of God, the same thing happens. When you get connected into the word, when you get grounded in the word of God, you're grown in strength. You're grown physically as a Christian. Just like as if you were going to the gym. The word of God carries weight in it. We grow stronger by allowing his Holy Spirit come and teach us his ways. The Holy Spirit is the connection. He's the one that will teach you how to honor God when that situation in your life is breaking out in chaos. And in the flesh, you want to just scream off. But when you know God, when you honor God, God will show you how to align your ways with his ways. Amen. Amen. This is what it says in Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. And for him, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is why God should be top priority in your life. He created all things. God knows everything about every single person here today. He knows the hidden things in your life. He knows the good things in your life. And this is why we should serve our God. He is our creator, who has allowed us to call him Father. We say we honor him. We say we honor him with our lips, but sometimes our heart is far from him. How often has God slipped out of first place in your life? How many times have you used a substitute to replace God? And I'm going to ask the worship band to come back. I wonder what would happen when we just give ourselves first to God. The breakthroughs that we would see, the miracles that we would see, loved ones that we would see here in church. The prayers that we're praying for. What would it look like when we give ourselves first to God? When we put him first in our lives? You see, faithfully honoring God means to choose to put him first. It means to choose to put God first. It means that we will remain pure no matter how strong the temptation. It means that we will remain faithful no matter how hard the trial. It means that when we put God first, we will remain confident no matter how hopeless the situation is. Our prayer should be in him first. that we bend our knee to him first, that there's no other God before him, that we bend our knee to Jesus first, that we love unconditionally, no matter how I am loved in return, that we spend time in God's word, no matter how tired we may be, that we persevere no matter how easy it is to quit. You see, the thief will come, just like on that train in New York. The thief will come, and his job is to kill. His job is to steal and to destroy and to take you out, and not for you to have God as your first priority. And this morning, I want to ask you, with every head bowed in this place, and we're just going to close our eyes. And the first thing I want to ask is, does everybody here know Jesus? And if you don't know Jesus, I want to ask you to put your hand up here this morning. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And you know, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to invite you to come and know Jesus here. And we're going to say a very, very simple prayer. And I'm going to ask the congregation to join in on this prayer. And I'm going to lead it off. And I want you to say this prayer. Because believe you me, when you say this, this is the beginning of the rest of your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me.
I thank you for dying on the cross for me.
I ask you, Lord God, come into my life and make me anew. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Father God, help me to make you a top priority in my life. And all God's people said, amen. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Let's welcome our new brothers and sisters into the Lord. Amen. 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 Can we sing that song, Majesty?
Yeah.
Amen. And for the rest of the body, can I ask everybody to stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus.
Your Majesty. Jesus.